passing through this week. But for a number of reasons, I'm just very happy this morning, and it's such a delight to see us together and able to worship together, and welcome from the bottom of my heart, Hacha. And so I would invite us to take a few moments in silence before I light the Christ candle. We have gathered in Christ's sight.
God loves with love, and thanks be to God.
Our call to worship is found in Psalm 105, or Voices United 828, but it's also found overhead. Let us join in response to give thanks and call on God's name. Make known to the nations what God has done.
Sing, sing songs of praise. Tell of all God's wonderful deeds.
Exult in God's glory.
Let those who seek God be joyful in heart.
Bless God, my soul.
Hallelujah!
Turn for help to the one who is your strength. Seek God's presence continually.
Remember the marvels that the Most High has done, the wonders and judgments God has given.
O children of Abraham and Sarah, God's servants.
O offspring of Israel, chosen of God.
Bless God, my soul. Hallelujah. You are the eternal God.
Your justice reaches every corner of the earth.
You are ever mindful of your covenant, the promise you gave to 1,000 generations.
The covenant you made with Sarah and Abraham, the oath you gave to Isaac.
You confirmed it for Jacob as binding. To Israel, your everlasting covenant you declared.
To you I give the land of Canaan as your appointed inheritance. Bless God, my soul.
Now let us turn to our bulletin as we together pray our opening prayer. God of gentle breezes and crashing waves, God of bold courage and welcoming waves, be with us in this time of worship. Focus us anew on your call for our lives.
Be with us as we face new challenges, new needs, and new dreams. We ask that your presence comfort us as we enter into this time of personal reflection. We share our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us open our hearts in the noise, in the silence, and hear these words. Christ believes in us, even when we don't believe in ourselves. Christ loves us even when we hate ourselves. Christ forgives us even when we condemn ourselves. And so let us believe and speak the good news of the gospel. All together now, in Jesus Christ, we are forgiven and loved. Hallelujah. Our pause for thought this morning is actually the I'm going to say this right, the Desiderata poem, which was peacefully knocking its way about through my heart and brain this week, especially that line, go quietly amidst the noise and haste.
Amid the noise and haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. As far as possible, without surrender, be on good terms with all persons. Speak your truth quietly and clearly, and listen to others. Even the dull and ignorant, they too have their story. Avoid loud and aggressive persons. They are vexations to the spirit. If you compare yourself with others, you may become vain and bitter. For always there'll be greater and lesser persons than yourself. You are a child of the universe. No less than the trees in the sky. You have a right to be here. And whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should. Enjoy your achievements as well as your plans. Keep interested in your own career. However humble, it is a real possession in the changing fortunes of time. Exercise caution in your business affairs, for the world is full of trickery. But let this not blind you to the virtue there is. Many persons strive for high ideals, and everywhere life is full of heroism. Be yourself. Especially do not feign affection, neither be cynical about love. For in the face of all aridity and disenchantment, it is perennial as the grass. Take kindly the counsel of the years, gracefully surrendering the things of youth. Nurture strength of spirit to shield you in sudden misfortune. But do not distress yourself with imaginings. Many fears are born of fatigue and loneliness. Beyond a wholesome discipline, be gentle with yourself. You are a child of the universe. No less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here. And whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should. Therefore, be at peace with God, whatever you conceive Him to be. And whatever your labors and aspirations, in the noisy confusion of life, keep peace with your soul. With all its sham, drudgery, and broken dreams, it is still a beautiful world. Be careful. Strive to be happy.
Information is not always the most reliable. Some folks are saying that is a gentleman from England speaking. Others are saying, no, that's the original version from Australia. So take your pick. And I would invite Debbie forward as we listen to our words of scripture there right this week. First reading is from Kings 19, 1 Kings 19, verses 1 to 13. Elijah flees to When Ahab got home, he told Jezebel what Elijah had done, and that he had slaughtered the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah. May the gods also kill me if by this time tomorrow I have failed to take your life like those whom you have killed. Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judea, and he left his servant there. Then he went on alone into the desert, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life.
for I am no better than my ancestors. Then he laid down and slept under the broom tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, Get up and eat. He looked around and saw some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and laid down again. Then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, Get up and eat some more, for there is a long journey ahead of you. So he got up, ate and drank, and the food gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. There he came to a cave where he spent the night. But the Lord said to him, What are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah replied, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I alone am left, and now they are trying to kill me too. Go out and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, What are you doing here, Elijah? Our second reading is from Matthew 14:22-33. Jesus walks on water. Immediately after this, Jesus made his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. Afterwards, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble, far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came to them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him, they screamed with terror, thinking that he was a ghost. But Jesus spoke to them at once. It's all right, he said. I'm here. Don't be afraid. Then Peter called to him, Lord, if it is really you, tell me to come to you by walking on water. All right, come, Jesus said. So Peter went out, went over the side of the boat, and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he looked around at the high waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Instantly, Jesus reached out his hand and grabbed him. You don't have much faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? And when they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshipped him. You really are the Son of Man, of God, they exclaimed.
When we think, at least when I think, of Christ doing, or when Christ does the miracle of walking on water, I mean, the scripture clearly says the waves were crazy bad and the disciples were very worried about it. And of course, they think they saw a ghost, and so that adds to the fear. And we've heard countless sermons about it, so I'm not going to talk about it too much today. But what's interesting to me is whenever I think about Christ walking on water, I think of afterwards. I always think of Christ walking on this very still water. And that's not what Scripture says at all, and I know it's not, but I can't get that image out of my mind. That thing is that when Christ is walking towards the disciples, when Christ is walking towards us, it is calm and it is peaceful and it is a miracle to behold. One might even say it could even be relaxing. Perhaps. Perhaps not the, well, that's very pretty, I am distantly relaxed, but in that deep, bone deep, heavy, heavy relaxation where that moment when you realize that I'm not in control, but Christ is. And that's okay. That's more than okay. Oh. You breathe in at the wonder. And you breathe out in the awe. Just they say, speaking of breathing though, that there is nothing more relaxing than listening to another's breathing. There are countless books, actually, there was a study apparently that was done that said, if you in fact want to be in sync, if you want to feel deep relaxation, you know, without prayer, because it wasn't that kind of resource, they said what you do is you breathe in for however many counts and you breathe out for the same number of counts and you listen to your own breathing. And I tried it and it doesn't work for me, I can't do it. But I do know that when I listen to, oh I lied, the dog's breathing. Well, no, but like when she's asleep, right? And I look at her and I think, I am responsible for this life. And you are relaxed and you trust me and I can take care of you. It's very peaceful for me. And I don't have children, but I do remember a couple times I've gone over to friends' houses that have children and they say, I'm looking at this newborn and I made her, I made him. He is of me, she is of me, and she's asleep. Just listen to that breathing. That calm breathing. There's something, I think, about the breathing that we do in sleep, that very relaxed state that we are in, perhaps the only time of this busy day in 2011, where we are relaxed. There's something about it. When I was young, actually, I'm going to move away from the podium, but when I was young, we had sort of a setup where the parents were in this room over here, and they'd sort of swung the door shut. And I was in the room over here, and I think I had my door shut, because that's just how we slept in that house. And then my brother was in the room next to me. And so I couldn't hear my brother's breathing. I was about 9. And I wasn't really paying attention to my own breathing. The breathing I was listening to was my dad's snores. And it's sort of funny, and I'm sure it drove my mom nuts, but for me, I'd always known that. That was the breathing I grew up on that said, everything is okay in this world. And to this day, people say, oh, I snore, and I say, great, come right next to me, because I'll fall asleep like in an instant, and I do. Breathing, the snoring at least, has become background. In many ways, the snoring that I grew up with, that meant it was okay, that it was relaxing, that there was the sign of another person's presence there. And so I could let go for a moment. That snoring became my quiet because it was so much in the background. It was so much a part of my life. I dare say that we gather together on Sunday and we come together from busy lives, and I don't want to discount that at all. But it's been commented that we are a society that has forgotten how to rest. How to utterly remove ourselves, and this isn't new. Raise your hand if you have heard this before. You don't know how to rest.
I live it.
Exactly, right? And I'm like, hearing it doesn't make it any less true. But the reminder that we are a society that has forgotten how to rest. And yet God, in the 7 days, rested on the seventh day. We are a society that has forgotten how to rest. I was talking to a teacher, actually, at the wedding yesterday, and we got to talking about summer holidays or whatever, and with joy in her heart, this clearly wasn't a bad thing, but it kind of pinpoints the example. She's like, yeah, I know it's supposed to be on holidays, but I keep reading about how to teach math tutorials. That's my summer reading. She's thinking about going back to work, so she's preparing to go back to work during her holiday. I mean, if it brings you joy, then far be it from me to say, no, you're doing it wrong. But it highlights that we are a society who has forgotten how to rest, how to remove ourselves, how to step back from the driver's seat and look at someone else, to look at Christ. walking the waters around us. I think we'd be busy with our iPods and Blackberries, and we don't even notice that Christ is calming the waters around us. And yet, God stays with us. Every night, some better than others, but we are given a chance to sleep. We are given a chance to rest. We are given a chance, and sometimes it works great, and sometimes we can't distance ourselves, to remove ourselves from our 24/7 lives and seek sanctuary in God. To come to that quiet moment in our day. And of course, it is the traditional prayer that says, God, I know you'll be up, so I'm just going to turn everything over to you and go to sleep now. Amen. That is apparently a real prayer, so if you want to memorize that and go home tonight, by all means. We are a society that has forgotten how to rest, and yet in our busyness, in our chaos, which is, ironically, as old as time. The Desiderata poem mentioned it, and of course in Christ's time and in Elijah's time, it was a different kind of busyness, but people were hectic with trying to live. And there'd be noise all around them, there'd be the rattle of carts, there'd be the shouts and the clangs of the streets, there'd be the clink of the armor as the soldiers marched by, and perhaps if you were living nearer to the city, you would hear the moans of the crucified and the dying outside. Then, as now, we needed a break. We needed to remove ourselves and to fling ourselves into a sanctuary. We are a society that has forgotten how to rest. And yet we have, in this society, in this world, a chance to be quiet every night. I think that's a huge blessing. And that quiet, I think, for me, I was trying to put this into words, and it's not coming together very quickly. But the point I wanted to make, I'll sum up my sermon in bullet points, because I'm supposed to be done now, is in the hecticness of our lives, the fact that we can sleep means that we are trusting of another. When someone else is sleeping beside us, at some level they are showing they trust us, whether that be a child, a pet, a spouse, a parent. When we sleep, we are letting go of our fears and our anxieties of the day, and we are turning them over to God. And this is a moment of quiet, a moment of sanctuary, and in many ways, a moment of wonder. But the biggest wonder for me is not so much the chance that we get this quietness, which every night is about trust, but the bigger picture. And the scripture lesson that I was reading, that I was basing the inspiration for this week, actually, when God was passing by Elijah, right? And I had in the silence. And it got me thinking, when have I ever heard silence? I've heard quiet. And in many ways, it's deeply relaxing. But when have I ever heard silence? Right now, the building's creaking. You've got the rustle of the wind. At home, it was me. The dog is usually never making a sound, but I heard the water heater going. And then it hit me, the one time I heard silence, it was years ago. And we were on a skiing trip. We didn't have normal holidays like people. We saved up all year to, in winter, go to ski. We didn't do summer holidays. But we were doing a skiing trip down in Banff there on the Sunshine Coast. We're, you know, sunshine area. Yeah. That's really irrelevant. But I remember I was sort of early teens, and we went up the chairlift, and one of the runs started kind of a ways off the chairlift, and so I went crunch, 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 crunch with my downhill skis and my poles. And my brother and my dad were kind of three chairs behind me, and no one else seemed to really be going in my direction. And I turned the corner, and there were copses of trees all around me, and I was shifting. I was like, oh my gosh, I want to go because I like skiing. And then I realized there was no one around me, and I paused, and it was so quiet. It was like, I've never heard anything quiet. It wasn't quiet, it was the absence of silence. It was the absence of noise, sorry. It was mind-blowing. It was almost as if the whole world was waiting. It was like the whole world was holding its breath. For a minute and a half, I think this lasted. Then my brother showed up and he was crunching on the snow. He's like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "How like Christ of you to say that? Let's go." But that moment where the world was almost waiting to hold its breath, I found myself holding my breath, and it gets me thinking in this very rambly sermon that I'm still having fun with. Thank you. That I would urge us all to appreciate the moments of quiet, but to acknowledge that within that quiet, within that trust of letting go in our daily lives, that we are nonetheless waiting on God to act in our lives, to bring about the new kingdom, to have the return of Christ. We are waiting on God. And that's really it. We have moments of quiet as we wait on God. Sadly, I went back next year and I was searching for that utter silence, and they'd updated the chairlifts, so now there's a constant hum. Darn technology. Anyway. I'm going to give you gratitude because you were most quiet when I wanted you to be. Thank you. And if there were any kernels of hope in there, I would invite you to reflect on them throughout the week. And so as we move on through our service, Minute Commission actually was gratefully read by Shelley. Thank you. Oh, we've got another one. Score.
This is going to be a combination Minute for Mission, but on the back of the bulletin, I just caught this, and I've seen this bulletin before. I don't know if we all have the same one, but I'm just going to read the back. Summer is a time when all creation seems to shout out the news of God's wondrous creativity. Parks, gardens, fields, and forests are alive with color and scent. This is a time of year when we pause from our work to relax, recreate, and recreate. Create anew and recreate, create anew and share in God's remarkable creativity. And summer camps and vacation Bible schools are supported by the Mission and Service Fund. But I just thought that was so fitting for our service today. And the other Minute for Mission comes from my booklet, and it's also somewhat on the theme, and it's Taste the Rainbow. One day, the United Church women at First United Church in Lewisburg, Nova Scotia, looked at the Mission and Service Fund treasurer, Ian McIntyre, and thought, "My goodness, he looks hungry." Ian was hungry. He was starving for gifts that would help the pastoral church meet its mission and service goal. The UCW decided the members of their church should taste the goodness that we spread around the world and in our own backyard when we lift up the promise of God's rainbow in the Mission and Service Fund. They got the Reverend Matthew's crafty partner, Laura, to create a M&S display for the church lobby. It included lots of information and stories about the work M&S does. Beside the display would be a Taste the Rainbow table featuring freshly baked homemade treats. As the faithful folk of First United walked into the church, they would learn about M&S and have a chance to pick up some tasty baked goods, fudge, peanut butter balls, shortbread cookies, and more. All available for a free will donation to M&S, a tasty and affordable way to do God's work. You too are invited to taste and touch the rainbow by giving to Mission and Service Fund. That's our reading for today.
Let us pray. Gentle God, to those who have hunger, give bread. And to those who have bread, give the hunger for justice. Amen. I invite us to turn to the prayer in our bulletin as we remember the community. O Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past. So teach us, O God, to number our days. We contemplate that we are creatures of time, who sooner or later will come to the end of this life's journey. What are we doing? Help us, Lord, as we live one day at a time, to know that every day is precious, never to be recaptured. It cannot be lived again. We pray, O God, for guidance in living each moment, in living each week, to know that this one week will never be regained. Guide our actions as we affect the lives of others. So may we live a little taller, with our faith a little deeper, our hopes and our visions a little brighter, knowing that life gives us another day. For we come together to worship and to catch that vision and the Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. In our prayer cycle, this week we pray for Debbie and Tom Greger. The family and friends of Philip, whose memorial service was yesterday.
For Nathan Mueller and his family who have come back from Ontario to try and sort their life out before moving back to have support with family in Ontario.
This and more we pray, trusting in Christ's name. Amen. And last but never least, we are bold to continue praying as we use the words that Christ taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom,
and so our service this week comes to a close, and I would invite us to go forth exulting in summer, in God's creative presence around us. But more importantly, let us go forth with ready and engaged spirits, hearing as God speaks to us, as God spoke to Elijah with the words, "What are you doing here?" Let us make every moment count. Let us seek out those moments of quiet, for rest. And may we always strive to hear God's voice. And so as we go forth, I would pray that you would see the face of Christ in everyone you meet, and that everyone you meet sees the face of Christ within you.